This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. 343-0106, 343-0106 for a call or a text. And reminder, too, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave one of those talkback messages for any of the shows. This show, maybe it's a Monday night, and you're listening to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, John Young, and you want to leave a talkback message. Just make sure Philip knows to, or the Mad Hatter knows to press that, right? John, good to see you.
Good seeing you too, Sean.
Why is that mic not on? I don't know. Get your mic closer. There you go. There it is. There, you're fine. You're on. Yeah.
All right.
Had to press other buttons in here. Good to see you.
I need to speak louder.
No, you don't. You get the most resonant and distinct voice in the city of Mobile. You don't. You're good. And I was listening to the show, and people can go back. If they don't catch the show live, you can always go back in the archives and in our podcast and listen to it. Very interesting show on Monday night as well. You're talking to Donnie
Warren.
Warren. Yeah. And was Donnie come from where? What world?
He and I have known each other several years. He's retired now, I believe. But he talked about his daughter Amber, who was shot and killed by a BB gun almost 20 years ago, and organ donation. Mm-hmm. Her donated organ saved three lives, he said. But that also compelled him to begin talking to kids at Strickland Youth Center.
Right.
Trying to inspire them to live an alternative life, to not carry a gun, to learn how to read, write, and count, to take a bath. And I had the pleasure of going over and speaking with him 2 weeks ago. And some of these kids you could look at and tell it was just bouncing off their cranium. Mm-hmm. But some kids received it. And every time I become disgruntled or, why am I doing this? I see those kids who are captivated and want to make a change. That's why we have to do it. We have to make it a priority to tell the truth.
Yeah.
When you have a 13, 14, 15, 17-year-old in a stolen car shooting at police, that is a failure of the home.
It is y'all, and what John and I are talking about is a story we've talked about here a good bit on the show. This is a week ago tomorrow. You've got the deputy comes in, falls in behind this vehicle. They're going to elude. They're going to make a run for it. Mm-hmm. And then not only making a run for it, start shooting out of a vehicle at law enforcement. This is Bonnie and Clyde stuff, man.
This is borderline anarchy.
Yeah.
The failure of the home, it always starts at home. That a 13-year-old, you're not even old enough to have a license
13.
To drive a golf cart. But to not just be in a stolen car, but then to actively engage with police in a running gun battle at school hours, getting out of school through a predominantly black neighborhood and endangering every life around there.
Yep.
What would have happened if those deputies had dispensed, met force with force, and taking the life of the 13-year-old black boy, 14-year-old black boy.
National media would be camped out here. Yeah.
But the alphabet organizations would come out and beat their drums. The so-called social activists would come out and make their money, and everybody wants a check. But there's no one going to the 13, 14, 15-year-old's house saying, what can we do to help?
That's right. And the question is, and this I played this yesterday. I'm going to play the clip again with John in the studio at the same time of what Sheriff Birch had to say about this. And this is the question. So Men Unite Against Violence, and something John and Drew have been talking about for a long time, is when we need to get to these kids.
Right.
You know, and if we're talking about kids, here's what Sheriff Birch had to say about some of the kids in that vehicle, three of them. He said first, 17-year-old needs to go to prison, then said this.
At 13 and 14 years old, you know, I think there can still be some rehabilitation done to maybe get them back on track, you know, if you have the right home environment and right involvement with family or friends or the community. But I think once you're 15 and up and you're involved in violent crime, you know, and it's sad to say, I think you're a lost cause, you know, and there may be that one that's worth saving, but for the most part, when they're committing those kind of crimes at that age, there's just nothing you can do. You know, they've committed their life to doing those type of activities.
John, react to that.
Sad but true. That's why we try to get those preteens, 12, 13, 14, mm-hmm. because they still have fertile soil. They still have enough childhood in them. But it's sad but true. And I think that age is even maybe too late. We have to get to the 5 and 6 year olds. Because if
y'all listen to this, because this is what John's been talking about, and Drew, 5 and 6 year old. Well, it's too young, no, John. They're just kids.
Not in 2025. These kids have 10 years of experience by that age. The at risk kids that we're talking about, they've already been in a broken home environment. They've already experienced the lack of love and nurturing and care. So, but our efforts, everything we say, starts in the home. That's the only solution. That's it. And every law enforcement organization should have the same message. Listen, raise your kids. Raise your children. Men aren't growing up. Nope. We men are walking around like oversized adolescents. The men that are around are just as juvenile and childish as they are, as the kids are. The home is broken. I don't want to hear this excuse about my mom works 3 jobs. You still have a choice. She has to go to work to feed you. You still have a choice not to get into a stolen car, to carry a gun, not to sell drugs. It always comes down to personal choice. So I agree with the sheriff, and that's why he'll be reelected as sheriff, because he tells it like it is. And we need more people just telling it like it is, just telling the truth. More preachers, more social activists. Hey, listen, yeah, government does have a role and responsibility, but you still have to make the right choice.
Yeah, well, I agree, but I think what it's an eye-opener maybe for some people who hadn't watched this is the cohort age that we talk about, because we talk about the violence overwhelmingly committed by black males between 15 and 25,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And the group, here's the thing, so you leave it at that, and the people say, well, you're just picking on black people, Sean, but the people that they kill or injure and maim are black people as well.
You know, Drew.
I mean, I don't get how this. Why isn't the innocent person?
Why don't we think about the victims?
Where's their value?
Drew's nephew was the 24-year-old that was shot and killed on Linwood. And his heartbreak.
Yeah.
The shooter was 18. We have a serious problem in our families. To continue saying, I've been called all kinds of names for saying these things. But there, as I said 3 years ago, Memorial Day weekend, there is a serious gun violence problem involving young black men disproportionately relative to population and compared to other ethnic groups. And we have to figure it out. We believe as family. Men United Against Violence believes as family. The family unit is broken, and we have to put shame back into that. We should not glamorize single mothers as being strong and independent. No, if you're so strong, be able to resist the temptation of having sex before the man marries you. We can't say that men should be able to walk around and proudly say how many they have, 8 or 9 kids. No, you're irresponsible, and you should be an embarrassment. That's the only way to truly change this. There are enough. I don't see what government can do if a 13 to 17 year old decides I'm going to steal a car and shoot at the police.
Right.
The only thing we can do is meet their force with force or lock them up forever so they can't harm anyone.
That's
else.
What Sheriff says. It's either going to be handcuffs or death.
That's what it comes down to, because I guarantee you, if someone points a gun at me, the only reason I don't confront with equal or a greater force is because it's my time to go. But know that. Now, if you want to play this game, let's play this game. But you can't quit when you want to.
Right.
Once you do that. And the fact that they were taken into custody shows a lot of restraint, a lot of professionalism in the men that were pursuing them.
Yeah, I've talked about that in the past, and not just, you know, maybe the cohort and age of my friends in law enforcement, but I think the sheriff said seasoned deputies.
Right.
It's a thing with law enforcement I always talk about. We need to get new people in, but we have got to retain the people in there. My friends that are in law enforcement that are older are absolutely, to every one of them, wiser.
Right. It comes
and you know, just not that young officer won't one day become that wise officer, but they aren't on day one.
No, it takes many years, many mistakes.
Y'all think about it. You're getting shot at.
Right.
Somebody is trying to kill you.
And you have to be so professional and well trained that you continue the pursuit, because the risk that they're shooting, they pose to the public, is greater than the risk they pose to me. If they're that bold, then they would have carjacked someone else. They would have forcibly entered a home. So I give applause to all the deputies and officers that were involved in that. They did a wonderful job, but the parents should be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
The parents should call and say, I'm sorry. they should call and say, my child did it and I'm sorry. Will the officers or deputies be allowed to file a lawsuit against the mother? Will they be able to sue? Because if they had injured one of those brute beasts, what do you think would have happened? There have been lawsuits falling
out
of the
sky. Oh, my gosh,
yeah. Ty Tungett lawyers from out of town would have been here overnight. So our message is simply raise your darn children. Be active in their life. Be a part of it. Do something else besides this. The government can't fix this, Sean. We can't keep pointing to fingers. Hey, we have a new mayor coming in. Mm-hmm. Don't have too many expectations that he will be able to stop a 13, 14, 15, 17-year-old from shooting at police.
It has proven itself. I mean, so the laws are passed. Law enforcement enforces those laws. You take the perpetrators, you put them in jail. Okay, but then there's the next and the next and the next and the next wave. We can't wait around. You're not going to put them all in jail and then all of a sudden it's going to stop because the next wave is ready to come up.
Right.
So we've got to stop this flow of people into this lifestyle.
Arrest the violent criminals and keep them in jail. No bond. Put them in jail forever. Parents, raise your children. Second, support law enforcement in their efforts to make the city safer. Those are the three things that are going to solve the problem. And government can only be as good as the people that implement those three things. We have to participate, and that's where we're failing. When you have a 13-year-old driving a stolen car.
Y'all picture a 13-year-old. Your parents have a picture, or you have a nephew or something. Picture a 13-year-old.
Right. Barely able to reach the steering wheel and the pedals at the same time.
Is driving the car where they're Bonnie and Clyde-ing up, shooting out the back. And coming right back, more John Young right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Back with Mr. Mobile, John Young. Of course, catch the show on Monday nights here at FM Talk 106.5. And if you're saying, well, I didn't catch last week's show or the week before, they're all on our podcast page, the app, the podcast page with the station, or anywhere you subscribe for podcasts. Make sure you like, subscribe to FM Talk 106.5, and you'll get those podcasts as well. Some text here. Can we go through the normal questions? When are you going to run for mayor?
Never.
We get this every time you're on.
I'm flattered. Sean, I really am. I'm flattered that anyone would think I have the character integrity to serve this great city.
I do.
You are old. Yeah, thank you, too.
And I know you will.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Anderson says, do Mobile police officers carry non-lethal weapons like the Byrna? I get that's that thing they advertise. It's like a stun.
Yeah, of course they have. Multiple.
Let's see. Pat said a few weeks ago, I brought my 13-year-old's best friend to my boy's birthday party. He lives with his grandma. The boy was the most respectful young man I have personally met. He ended up staying the entire weekend at her house because they wanted to have fun. Remember that one where you begged, can they stay?
Right.
And he said, when I tell you, this boy who is black was the most respectful kid I ever met. Way more respectful than my own child. His grandma is doing it right.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
Somebody stepping up and being a parent.
There are. Listen, it's not all black kids. That'd be ridiculous to say that. It's not true, but it's always black kids.
This is the thing that drives me crazy. Somebody would come up to me and say, I heard you and John talking. Somebody who's black says, you and John talking, and you're always talking about the black kids. I said, the people getting shot aren't white people.
Right.
It's black people.
Right. And that's
they didn't do anything wrong.
But we're only telling a truth, a hard truth that has to be addressed in order to change it. I will never back up on that. If we truly cared about these black children, if black lives truly mattered, then we would give the recipe for life to continue. These crimes are getting progressively worse. 20 years ago, kids were breaking into cars, stealing stereos. They're now shooting at police from a stolen car.
There's a big change there.
Do you guys remember 10 years ago when someone was driving a stolen car, the police officer pulled him over, he attempted to pull a stolen gun out of and shoot the officer, and the officer shot him? So these crimes are getting progressively worse. These brute beasts are becoming more violent and willing to confront police in a violent manner. What good could come from that?
And at 13 years old.
What good could come from a 13-year-old?
Right, right. Where's the future in that? If the parent is there, and Leo was mad, he said stop using the word parent, but he says, why can't they admit all these feral youths or single, they admit all of these feral youths are from single mothers on welfare. But at 13, what could you have seen? That's why we got to start, because you and I being old guys, what have they seen at 13? Obviously enough that they're doing this, so we need to start talking to them at 5 and 6 and 7.
We have no choice. That's when I speak to kids, and I speak to them all the exact same way. I went to a church in Daphne a couple of weekends ago, and the ages were probably 5 to 15, but I spoke in the same term. I said, you five-year-olds have been exposed to more through your cell phone than I had when I was 12.
100%. I agree with that.
So we have to speak to them, and they're exposed to sex. They're exposed to violence and drug usage and abuse. We have to speak to them in these terms now, because candy coating and soft isn't working.
Mm-mm.
There was once upon a time you could give a Muppet show to a five-year-old to teach a moral. But now we're past that point. These kids can operate computers better than you and I at mm-hmm. their age. I still have trouble texting on my phone. I've used one finger. You know, so we have to speak to these kids where they are, because these crimes are only getting worse. Now, since this story is out, it will only inspire further violent interaction with police.
Isn't that insane?
It is, but that's the reality of it. And how long before something tragic happens?
Yeah, well, and law enforcement can't fix this. They're there to react.
Right.
But we're talking about is proactive means.
Right.
Dirt Digger says, men our age, our parents kept us straight. We were told police work to protect and serve. And not for the money. They don't get paid enough for what they do for their community. JY is a great man.
Thank you.
And I want to see Keith, too, because Keith is more like you and I in the way we grew up. He said, at 13, I feared my dad enough not to do anything stupid. So not that John and I didn't do things stupid, but big stupid. You and I both, like, we're kind of raised by the same man. Like,
risk versus reward.
Yes.
You know, I was just talking, before I came here, I ate with Drew and Pack, and we were talking about how we grew up, and we knew kids that sold drugs. We knew kids that stole cars. Mm-hmm. You knew kids. We could have easily done any of those things. It was there to be done, but we chose not to. We decided not to. Pack said his mom was working three jobs and wasn't home most of the time, so he played sports. But he never, ever would have done anything criminal. Mm-hmm. So it's a choice, Sean. We keep talking about, like, as if black kids are predisposed to be anything.
No, it is nurture versus nature.
Exactly what it is.
If you don't nurture.
And so,
and nurture can also be fear, because you and I have said this 100 times.
Yeah.
You and I, not like we were both born being perfect vessels.
Mature.
No. And for a while, you didn't do the bad thing because you feared the discipline
right.
that went with it. Now, eventually, you wake up as a man one day and go, oh, I see the moral compass. I see the stuff mm-hmm. I learned in church. I see that you do this because it's right and you don't do that because
right.
it's wrong. But when you're an idiot teenage kid.
Right.
It had to be fear.
Right. And it has to be that now, because obviously teenagers are losing their fear of dying.
Yeah.
They have zero fear of dying now. And that would almost make these kids psychopathic, wouldn't it, or psychotic, that they have zero fear of dying. Because once you engage, once you introduce a firearm into any equation, whether civilian, especially law enforcement, there's a high probability that you will die. And Mobile, how long will it be, if these kids are now pointing and discharging firearms at police, how long will it be before something tragic happens?
I'll say what it is, before one of them is killed.
Before one of them is killed. How long will it be?
Buddy says the youth of today have no fear in committing crimes,
mm-hmm.
and will keep doing it. They're not afraid because the punishment doesn't fit the crime anymore. They're not scared of jail. If a youth commits a murder, he's convicted of capital murder, he could spend 10, 15, 20, or 30 years in prison before he's executed. If the laws were to change to make punishment immediate, it might wake up some youth.
Agreed. We need tougher laws, no bond, and leave them in jail.
But we're trying to, John and I and Drew and everybody in the group, we're trying to not have the
right.
kid in that position.
We're trying to avoid that. We'd rather them make good decisions and good choices from the beginning. And anytime someone confronts you or I or Drew and say, you're only talking about black kids, mm-hmm. we're talking about criminals. So we're not talking about all black kids. We're talking about black kids that commit crimes. If we decrease the number of homicides committed by black men against black men by 50%, just cut that in half.
How many people will be alive?
Right. And we'd be down to 12 homicides a year.
And the killer doesn't go to prison, and the person they killed is still
right.
alive.
Right. It's a win for everyone.
Okay, that's even, and then you take it from there and say the people had nothing to do with it. The grandma in church praying, the kid laying on their bed doing their homework,
right.
they're all still alive too.
Right. That's right. 9-year-old Kaylee's still alive, right?
Alive.
The Quentin is still alive.
Alive.
You know.
The children are dead.
Right.
I mean, that's. I don't think we talk about enough.
We don't. We dance around it.
Dead children.
We make too many excuses for it. People talk about arresting your way out of the problem. Yeah, great. Put them in jail that commit crimes, but we want to prevent it. I don't want 13.
Correct. That's what we're trying to do.
That's what we're trying to do. So I drove to Fulton, Alabama last Saturday. Do you know where Fulton, Alabama is?
I have been there before, yes.
You sneeze and you'll pass it.
Correct.
But it is a 90-minute drive on Highway 43.
And then you go 525. How'd you go?
I went 43 to 178.
Okay.
Yeah. Church, country church in the middle of the woods. That's how much I care about children's lives.
Yep.
I told them, I didn't drive this far to play with you, so let's get into it. And I jumped right into it and told them they have to make a choice. You have to be clean, and we can't back up from that, Sean.
More of this discussion every Monday night right here with Tonight Mobile with Mr. Mobile, John Young. By the way, as we wrap this up too, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it, we're running out of time. Oh, yeah. Unnamed texture says, tell you that Tom says hello to your brother, our brother Marcus.
So, all right.
Shout out to Marcus. Good to see you.
Good seeing you, too. Marcus is retiring.
Is
second
he really?
Time. Yeah, he's retiring.
We'll have to talk about that when we do this.